إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 15th session dealing with the topic of al-iman and qadr, the divine pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the good and the evil of it. And tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to complete the discussion of the evidences that the Shaykh has mentioned. That is Al-Allama Hafiz ibn Ahmad ibn Ali Al-Hakami rahimahullah, that he has mentioned concerning the fourth level of Iman and Al-Qadr, and that is Maratabat Al-Khalq. So we have been reading from the book A'lam Al-Sunnah Al-Manshura, Li'atiqad Al-Ta'ifa Al-Najiyah Al-Mansura. And last week we began with question number 151. What is the evidence for the fourth level, Al-Martaba Al-Rabiya, the fourth level of the levels of faith in Al-Qadr, that is the level of creation, Al-Khalq, believing that everything that exists or everything that happens or occurs is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And last week we mentioned from the evidences that the Shaykh mentioned, well, actually in the beginning we read all of the evidences, the ayat from the Quran, eight of them, and two hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam quickly, and then we began to discuss some of them in detail. And if anyone reflected upon these evidences, it would become clear to you that the author rahimahullah has mentioned two types of evidences. One of them, the first type, and the first four ayats, he mentions ayat from the Quran that directly point to the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the only creator, that He is the creator of everything. There's no other creator besides Him. Show us anything that those who are worshipped besides Him have created. And so on. Those ayats that are crystal clear, which indicate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being the only creator. However, if you look at the remaining evidences that the Shaykh mentions, the ayats that remain, it will become clear to you that here, he is referring to two things. One, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything, and more specifically, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the creature and his actions. And that's important, because there might be many people outside of the Ummah of Islam, there might be many people who say there's only one creator. With whatever deviations or corruptions or misguidance or misunderstanding that they have, they might say there's only one creator. That's not so difficult to find a person who agrees that there's only one creator. But who from amongst them understands, even from amongst the Muslims, except the people of Sunnah, who have correct, crystal clear aqeedah, with evidence and proofs from the Quran and Sunnah. Except the people of Sunnah, how many of the people know, understand, and accept the reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only the creator of the creatures, of every created being, but He's also the creator of the actions. That the actions of the human beings and other creatures are created by Allah. Yani the human being doesn't create his own actions. How many people understand this? So the Shaykh, he has mentioned in the remaining ayat after the first four, proofs of this reality. Some of them are direct and some are indirect. The last ayat that we mentioned, the fifth ayat, is a direct proof. A direct proof of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the creatures, and as well, He is the creator of the actions of the created beings. And that is the ayah in Surah Safat, 37th Surah, 96th ayah. And we discussed this ayah last week. However, I just want to go back to it quickly, just to add a couple of comments that, inshallah, of benefit. Yani we mentioned last week this ayah from Surah Safat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh mentions the ayah from here, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you, yani the created beings, He has created you, and He has created that which you do, yani your actions, your amal and your af'al. Allah has created you, and He also created your actions. And we said, when we're reading from the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions that the word ma here, wallahu khalaqakum wa ma, this ma, he said that there are two possibilities. It might possibly mean yani ma masdariyah, in which case the meaning would be that Allah has created you. Wa ma ta'amalun would mean wa amalakum, that Allah has created you and your action, your deeds. Allah has created you and your action. And the other meaning, he said, is bimana alladhi, yani ma al-mawsoola, which would mean in that case, the meaning of the ayah would be wallahu khalaqakum walladhi ta'amalunahu, that Allah has created you and that which, yani the product that you are making, that you are doing, whatever you are doing, the outcome of it. And both of these meanings, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir says, well, first he says the first meaning is more clear, yani it is more, probably the more correct meaning or closer to the correct meaning, that is that Allah has created you and your action, yani your amal, your amal, your af'al, He created you and your action. And this is a direct proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only the creator of the creature, but the creator of the actions. In one ayah, in just a few words, wallahu khalaqakum, He has created you, wa ma ta'amalun, and He has created your actions. And then he says, yani Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir says, yani that the more, yani the closer of the two meanings, is the first one. Even though both of them are mutalazim, meaning they're inseparable, they go together. Yani Allah created your actions, and He's also the creator of the product of your actions, whatever your actions produce, yani whatever occurs as a result of your actions. And then he mentions the hadith of Hudhayfa attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna Allah yasna'u kulla sani'in wa sana'atahu. This is mentioned by Al-Imam Bukhari in his book Khalq Af'al al-Ibad. And to the end of the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir that we read last week, and we're going to come back to this hadith, because this is the primary evidence from the Sunnah that the Shaykh has mentioned in the book, along with a supplication that we will also discuss this evening by Ibn Lahi Ta'ala. But before we leave this ayat, I want to look at the Tafsir of Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, one of the greatest scholars of Tafsir, one of the most famous and well-known scholars of Tafsir. And in his Tafsir of the very same ayat, after mentioning yani the yani siyak, or the context in which these words came, yani the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he broke the idols of the pagans, and when they found out that he was the one who did it, and they wanted to punish him, to throw him in the fire, he began to yani refute them, and he said to them yani that which should make them think about their condition. He said, "Ata'buduna ma tanhituna," are you worshipping that which you have made, have carved, yani with your own hands? Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amalun. Are you worshipping that which you yourselves have made, that you have carved with your own hands? While Allah, while Allah, are you doing that? While Allah is the one who created you and that which you do, yani your action of carving the idols and the end result of your action. Allah is the creator of all of that. So why are you worshipping something other than Him? So Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, he mentions yani the context of these ayats, and he gives some explanation of some of the ayats leading up to this, and then he says, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ata'buduna ma tanhituna," are you worshipping that which you have made yourselves? He said, in this statement, there's hadf, yani something that is, yani has been taken out, yani that should be understood, and that is, it is as though it should be saying, a قَالُوا مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا, yani as though they, yani we should understood that they have said, who has done this to our idols? And then Ibrahim alayhi salam responded to them with this saying, أَتَعْبُدُونَ مَا تَنْحِتُونَ, are you worshipping that which you have carved yourselves? While Allah is the one who created you and that which you do. He said Ibrahim alayhi salam presented this argument to them. Are you worshipping the idols that you yourselves have made with your own hands? You have carved them, while Allah is the one who created you. وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And here Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah mentions four different possibilities of the meaning of ma here. And last week we read two of them from Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir. Al-Qurtubi says that the meaning of ma here, and while Allah has created you, and وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, ma here, and what you make or what you do. He said that one of the possible meanings of ma here is ma fi mawdi' nasbin, ay khalaqa ma ta'malunahu min al-asnam, yani al-khashab wal-hijara wa ghayruhuma. Yani the meaning here is that one possible meaning of ma here is ma al-mawsula, that while Allah is the one who created ma ta'malunahu, yani alladhi ta'malunahu, that which you are making, yani the asnam, the idols, meaning the wood and the stone, and stone and other than that you make your idols from. That's one of the meanings, ma al-mawsula. Alladhi, bimana ma, yani bimana alladhi, that which. The second possibility he said is ma istifham, yani ma, the ma that means what. Like you learn in basic Arabic, ma hadha, what is this? This ma means what? It is a question, right? And the meaning here would be tahqir li amalihim, that it is showing the despicableness of their action. That is something despicable, lowly. What are you doing? Like you see somebody doing, you say, what are you doing? And it's stupid, it's dumb. The third meaning he says, وَقِيلَ هِيَ نَفْيٌ, that the meaning of مَا هِيَ is نَفْيٌ, مَا نَفْيٌ. Like you say, مَا ذَهَبْتُ, مَا ذَهَبْتُ إِلَى السُّوقِ, I didn't go. مَا, that means what? Negation. مَا نَفْيٌ, هِيَ نَفْيٌ, he said. And the meaning here is, وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ ذَلِكَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ خَالِقُهُ, that you haven't done this, rather Allah is the one who created it. Yani that which you are doing, Allah is the creator of your action and that which you do. And the fourth possibility he says, وَالْأَحْسَنْ أَن تَكُونَ, and that which is best, the best possibility of what the meaning of مَا here is, مَا مَعَ الْفِعْل مَسْتَرًا, yani the مَا that's used with the فِعْل as a مَسْتَر, and the تَقْدِيَ, the meaning of it would be then وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَعَمَلَكُمْ. And this is the same thing that Ibn Kathir said, this is the best possible meaning. And here he said, Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi said, this is the best possible meaning. And Ibn Kathir, and what we read last week, said that something similar. Al-Azhar, yani that which is more clear, is the meaning of ma here is ma mastariya, meaning Allah is the one who created you and your action. Yani you and your action, your amal, your fi'l, your af'al. That Allah is the one who created you and your actions. And this meaning, according to Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, is the more clear meaning. And according to Al-Qurtubi, this is the better meaning. And this meaning is very, very important to our aqidah and what we are talking about in this subject of Allah being the only creator, the creator of the creatures and the creator of their actions. This ayat is a clear proof of that. That Allah is not only the creator of the creatures, but He's the creator of their actions. And after mentioning this, Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, and this is very important, and this is the main reason why I wanted to mention this point from his tafsir, he says, وَهَذَا مَذْهَبْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ. This meaning, that Allah is the creator of you and your actions, this is the madhab of Ahl Sunnah. This is what Al-Qurtubi said. So if we read from you what, يعني Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, or Shaykh Al-Albani, or Shaykh Ibn Baz, or scholars, our contemporary scholars today, people might say, well, who are these people? They don't really know, they don't understand. But they know who Qurtubi is, they know who Ibn Kathir is, they know these people, they know who Imam Bukhari is. So sometimes we have to go back and see and show what the earlier scholars said, that our scholars today, the people of Sunnah, are not saying anything different. The scholars of Sunnah today are saying the same thing the scholars of Sunnah yesterday said. No different. Go back 100 years, 200, 500, 1000, they're saying the same thing. Why? Because they got it from the same source. From the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from the Quran, from the Sunnah, and those who transmit it from the Salaf of this Ummah. This is the madhab of Ahl Sunnah. أَنَّ الْأَفْعَالِ خَلْقٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَاكْتِسَابٌ لِلْعِبَادِ, yani that the actions of the creatures are the creation of Allah, are the creation of Allah عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and they are the earnings, the اكتساب, yani that which the people, when they do something, this is their earning. Yani if they do good, they get good. If they do evil, then they will get evil. يعني لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. And the human being, when they do something, it will either be for them or it will be against them. And it will either be good for them or evil against them. And then he says, and in this, وَفِي هَذَا إِبْطَالْ مَذَاهِبْ الْقَدَرِيَّةِ وَالْجَبْرِيَّةِ. And in this is the refutation or the proof of the falsehood of the madhahib of the Qadariyah and the Jabariyah. And this, we don't have the time to go into the madhahib of Qadariyah and Jabariyah, but if somebody is not clear on it, then in plain language, what we're talking about here, as far as the Qadariyah, they are the people, in reference to this subject, they are the people who said that the human being has absolute free will, does whatever he wants to do. And some of them even went so far as to say that Allah doesn't even know the actions of the human being until after they do it. And they deny that Allah is the creator of the actions of the human being. And the Jabariyah are just the opposite. They say the human being has no free will, that he just does whatever he's forced to do, what he's compelled to do. And obviously, both of these views are corruption. And whoever claims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have control over the actions of the human being, that Allah is not the creator of the actions of the human being, or whoever says that the human being has no free will, that he's just doing what he's forced to do, and then he's punished for doing evil if he does evil, all of this is falsehood. And after this, Al-Qurtubi mentions the hadith, which is the main hadith that the author has mentioned concerning this topic. And he narrates it from Abu Hurairah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَالِقُ, in this words, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَالِقُ كُلِّ صَانِعٍ وَصَنَعَتِهِ, that Allah is the creator of every sani', yani everyone who does something, who makes something, who produces something, and that which they produce, that Allah is the khaliq. Notice that the author in the book, as we read last week, when we went straight through the evidences, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ what? يَسْنَعُ يَسْنَعُ. And here, and in some of the narrations, as we'll see, يعني it's narrated that he said صَنَعَ, and in some of the narrations said خَالِق, and some of them said يعني خَلَقَ. And this is really, as we will see, shows us that the meaning of that Allah is the صَانِع means that He is the خَالِق, the one who created every creature and whatever they do. And then he also mentions, yani Al-Qurtubi, Imam Qurtubi, he mentions from Bayhaqi a different narration, the narration that we mentioned last week from Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ صَنَعَ كُلَّ صَانِئٍ وَصَنَعَتَهُ, that Allah is, He صَنَعَ. And some of the narrations, as I said خَلَقَ and خَالِق and صَانِئ, and all of this basically means the same thing. He says, فَهُوَ الْخَالِقُ وَهُوَ الصَّانِعُ Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani Allah is the Khaliq and Allah is the Sani, yani the creator, the one who prepares and puts together and arranges and makes yani everything that's in the creation. So that was the fifth evidence. As far as the sixth evidence, the Shaykh mentions from Surah Ash-Shams, 91st Surah, Ayah 7 and 8, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa nafsim wa ma sawaha fa alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha. And the soul, yani the human being, and he who has created it, yani orderly, upright, perfect and sound. ونفس وما سواها. ما سواها means من سواها, the one who created it in good, in perfect proportion. فألهمها فجورها وتقواها, and he has inspired it with يعني knowledge or clarification or guidance of فجورها وتقواها means شر and خير, يعني the evil, it's evil and it's good. And Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir has a long discussion concerning these two ayat, and for the sake of time, somebody you know who really wants to يعني look at it fully, go back and look at the Tafsir Ibn Kathir, even the summarized version that's translated into English, and look at all the ayats leading up to there, especially the few ayats just before that. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا, look at the meaning of this. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا, and then وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir says the meaning of وَالنَّفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا means a خَلَقَهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's swearing by the nafs and the one who خَلَقَهَا, created it. سَوِيَّةً مُسْتَقِيمَةً على فترة القويمة, and he is the one who created it orderly, upright, and on a natural disposition. A fitra قويمة, يعني a sound straight, correct, right, upright disposition. يعني ونفسٍ وما سواها. Allah is swearing by the nafs, the soul of the human being, and the one who created it orderly, upright, upon a sound, straight disposition. Allah created the human being like this. He created the soul of the human being like this. This ayah is an indirect proof that Allah is not only the creator of the human being, but also the creator of the actions. Because Allah is the one who created it, its nature. And if we look at the meaning here, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir goes on to say that he says that Allah created the soul like this, and he says, like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَقِمْ وَجَهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطْرَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبَدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. So, direct your face upright towards the deen, حَنِيفًا, يعني being upright, straight, يعني inclined towards tawheed and away from shirk. This is the fitra of Allah, the fitra that Allah has created the human being upon. فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. He has created the human being upon this upright nature. And there should be no changing in the creation of Allah. Then he mentions the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. That every child that is born upon the fitra, the natural disposition, uprightness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created every human being upon. And then their parents make them Jews or Christians or Magians. And then he mentions in the Sahih of Muslim, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, where he narrates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying, إِنِّي خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي هُنَفَا فجاءتهم الشياطين فاجتلتهم عن دينهم. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed I have created my servants hunafa, upright, yani upon tawheed. And then the shayateen came to them and caused them to deviate from their deen of tawheed, from the upright nature. So Allah created the human being upon a nature to do good. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَهَا. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, the meaning of this, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَهَا, that he has arshadaha, he has guided this soul. And he created upon right nature, then he has guided it, إِلَى فُجُورِهَا وَتَقْوَهَا, to its fujur and its taqwa. Fujur is corruption, filth, wrongdoing. Taqwa, righteousness, piety, and so on. A, meaning, بَيَّنَ لَهَا ذَلِكَ, he has made clear, yani the uprightness, the piety, the righteousness, and the corruption, he has made clear for the soul. وَهَدَاهَا, he has guided it, إِلَى مَا قُدِّرَ لَهَا, to that which has been decreed for it. And it has also been narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum that he said, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَهَا بَيَّنَ لَهَا الْخَيْرُ وَالشَّرُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means he has made clear to the human being the khair, the good, and the shar. So he has made it easy for the person to do good deeds by showing you the clear distinction between that which is good and evil. أَرْشَدَهَا وَبَيَّنَهَا وَهَدَاهَا. And then he mentions, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions a long narration. I'll try to summarize it because it's very lengthy and the time is short. He mentions from Ibn Jarir, يعني Al-Imam, the Imam of the scholars of Tafsir, يعني Hafidh ibn Kathir, is quoting from Al-Imam Ibn Jarir, Al-Tabari. He's quoting from him a narration that mentions, it's on the authority of Abi al-Aswad, Ad-Dili or Ad-Daylami. He said that Imran ibn Hussein, yani I'm going to try to summarize the narration without any leaving out anything, but I mean just try to quickly go through it. Imran ibn Hussein said to me, yani the narrator of hadith said, Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to me, أَرَأَيْتَ مَا يَعْمَلْ فِيهِ النَّاسِ وَيَتَكَادَحُونَ فِيهِ. Yani what do you think about what the people are doing, what you see the people engaged in, the action and what they are striving and exerting and laboring themselves in. أَشَّيْءٌ قُضِيَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَضَى عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ قَدَرٍ قَدْ سَبَقَ. Yani is this something that has been decreed upon them, that Allah has pre-decreed upon them, you know, from something pre-decreed from the past, that yani is decided already. أَوْ فِيمَا يُسْتَقْبَلُونَ مِمَّا أَتَاهُمْ بِهِ نَبِيُّهُمْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَكَّدَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ الْهُجَّةِ. Or is this something yani that will take place, yani not already pre-decreed, but it will happen in the future according to yani the actions of the people as they come along from that which their Prophet ﷺ came to them with and which was confirmed upon them by hujjah, by evidence and proof. yani that the deen came to them and the guidance came to them and then they acted in a certain way. Is this something that's pre-decreed or is this something that yani is not pre-decreed? That's basically the meaning of the question. And I said, the narrator of the hadith said, Bel shay'un qudi alayhim. Rather, it is something that has been pre-decreed upon them. And he said, yani the Imran ibn Hussein said to the narrator, فَهَلْ يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ ظُلْمًا. So if this is something that's pre-decreed upon them, and it's already decided, it's not something that their prophet came to them and brought them guidance and proof, and then they acted according or against it. If it's something pre-decreed, then is this then ظُلْم, yani injustice? And the narrator of hadith said, فَزَعْتُ مِنْهُ فَزَعًا شَدِيدًا. I became alarmed, frightened from him, from this kind of question. Yani, is this what Allah has pre-decreed upon? This ظُلْم? He said that question frightened him. Yani he was extremely frightened. And I said to him, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ إِلَّا هُوَ خَلْقُهُ وَمُلْكُ الْيَدِهِ. That is nothing except it is the creation of Allah. It is His creation. Everything is Allah's creation. And it is, yani مُلْكُ يَدِهِ. It is that which is in the possession of His hand. لَا يُسْأَلُ أَمَّا يَفْعَلْ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not questioned about anything that He does. And the people, they will be questioned about what they do. But Allah is not questioned. Then he said, Imran ibn Hussein, radiallahu anhu, said to him, صدقك الله إنما سألتك لأختبر أقلك. This is one of the narrations of the way it came. In some of the narrations, the wording is a little bit different, but this is the more correct, closer, clear narration. He said, may Allah grant you success. Indeed, I only asked you this to test your aql. He said, indeed, a man from amongst a certain tribe, Muzayna or Juhayna, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, what do you think about the actions of the people? Yani what they are striving, exerting themselves in? Is this something that's pre-decreed upon them? Yani from what Allah has already decreed in the past? Or is this something, yani from the future, from what the Prophet came to them and confirmed the evidence against them? The same question, yani Imran asked that man, was the question that he heard a man asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet said, Bal shay'un qad qudiya aw qada Allah qad qada Allah alayhim. Yani it is something that has been pre-decreed. Allah has decreed it upon them. So the man said to him, فَفِيمَا نَعْمَلُ. So what? Yani, so what are we acting upon? Yani, what is the benefit of our actions? And the Prophet ﷺ. And this question we saw in our previous discussions, yani, as we were going through this topic, several times, different incidents having the same type of meaning, people acting about this question that caused a lot of confusion to a lot of people. And he said to him, so what then our actions? Yani, what are they? What is the benefit of them? And the Prophet ﷺ said in this narration, قَالَ مَنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ خَلَقَهُ لِإِحْدَى الْمَنْزِلَتَيْنِ يُحَيِّئُهُ لَهَا. That whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created him for one of the two stations, yani the paradise or the hellfire, then he will prepare him for that. And he will make the way for him for that. وَتَصْدِيقُ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا رَهُ أَحْمِدْ وَمُسْلِمْ. And he said, and the proof of this, or that which confirms the truthfulness of this, that whoever Allah has created him for either one of the two stations, yani the paradise or the hellfire, then he prepares him for that. And the proof of this point, or this reality, that which confirms the truthfulness of it from the Book of Allah, is this very ayat, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Yani in the soul and the one who has yani created it yani perfect, upright, and so on, and then he has guided it and made clear to it the evil and the good. So this ayat here, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith used it, this ayat, as a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the creature, and he has also created the creature in such a way that he has prepared it, and he based upon his knowledge and wisdom and perfect justice, everyone for that which they deserve. Everyone for that which they deserve. And after this, Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions the ayats that follow this, and the Shaykh didn't mention these ayats, but yani they are worthy of mention. The following ayats, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Yani Allah has guided, inspired the soul to it's good, it's yani that which is evil and that which is good. After that he says, قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. So after this, one would definitely be successful. Man zakka, who has purified the soul, and he has purified his soul, or Allah has purified his soul. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, and the one who is at loss is the one who has corrupted his soul, or Allah has corrupted his soul. Meaning Allah is the one who determines and decides based on his perfect knowledge and wisdom and justice, who is deserving of guidance and who is not deserving of it. So Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir says that the meaning of this ayat has two possible meanings. One of the possible meanings is that قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَّى نَفْسَهُ, yani that he is successful, the one who purifies his own nafs, his own self, that is by obedience to Allah, yani he purifies himself from yani despicable low behavior and character. And this meaning has been narrated from a number of the scholars of the Salaf, like Mujahid and Ikrimah and Sa'id ibn Jubair and others. And whoever, yani وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, and he is indeed at loss, the one who has corrupted, polluted his soul. دَسَّاهَا, he said it means أَخْمَلَهَا وَوَضَعَ مِنْهَا بِخِذْلَانِهِ إِيَّاهَا عَنِ الْهُدَى, yani the one who has concealed, covered up his soul, and yani abandoned his soul by yani, or misled his soul by turning away from the guidance until it began to commit sins and it abandoned the obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is one meaning, that the one who is successful is the one who purifies his soul, and the one who is at loss is the one who corrupts his soul. The second possible meaning, Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir says, is the other meaning is that أَنْ يَكُونَ الْمَعْنَ قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَّ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ, that he is successful who Allah purifies his nafs, purifies his soul, and he is at loss whom Allah yani corrupts his soul. And he mentioned this from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Then he mentioned a number of narrations in which yani related to this, about the purification of the soul, the corruption of the soul. He mentions narrations in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated yani with the supplication that the Shaykh mentions as the last evidence on this topic, Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha, to the end of it. So he mentions narrations of this, a number of them from different scholars of the Sunnah. And finally he mentions a narration from Imam Ahmed with his chain of narration from Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasali wal-harami wal-jubni wal-bukhli wa'adhab al-qabri. That the Prophet ﷺ used to say, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from ajzi, from inability, being incapable of doing. Wal-kasali, laziness, wal-harami, senility or old age. Wal-jubni wal-bukhli wa'adhab al-qabri, and from cowardice and stinginess and the punishment of the grave. And after this part of the hadith, the second part of the hadith is what the Shaykh mentions as our final evidence, and we'll come to it in some detail as we get to the end. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha, O Allah, give to my soul its taqwa, its piety, its righteousness. Yani this piety or righteousness, it comes from Allah. He's the creator of the creature and the creator of their actions. Wa zakkiha anta khayru min zakka, and purify my soul, for indeed you are the best of those who purify souls. Rather, you are the only one who can purify the souls, because anta waliyuha wa mawlaha, you are the one who is its supporter or helper and its master. And then the last part of the hadith, which the Shaykh also didn't mention, very very important supplication, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min qalbin la yakhsha'u wa min nafsin la tashba'u wa in min la yanfa'u da'watin la yustajabu laha, that O Allah, I seek refuge in you from a heart which doesn't have khashya, fear of Allah, and from a soul that is never satisfied, never content, and from knowledge that has no benefit, and from a supplication that is not answered. And this is the narration as it came in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. And I will read, inshallah, also share with you the narration with slightly different yani arrangement of the words, but the exact same supplication as it came in Sahih Muslim. But in the end of the narration of Imam Ahmed has a very important point. He says that the narrator of the hadith, Zayd ibn Arqam, قال زيد رضي الله عنه كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمنا هن ونحن نعلمكهن, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to teach us these words, and we are teaching you. yani those who he was narrating the hadith to, we're teaching you these words. So we ask, inshallah, that Allah make it easy for us to memorize these words and to understand them thoroughly. Three parts of this narration, of this hadith, of this supplication, not just the part that the author mentions, but the whole three sections of it. Comprehensive, tremendous, beneficial supplication. We ask Allah to make it easy for us to memorize it, to understand it, and to supplicate with it regularly, sincerely, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that can purify our souls and grant us these things and protect us from that which we seek refuge from, and grant us success in this world and the next life. Believing that and supplicating with that consciousness in our mind, and we ask Allah to accept from us this kind of supplication. After this, the seventh evidence that the Shaykh mentions, and we'll mention this this ayat in brief, and it goes to the topic of, as we mentioned earlier, these evidences are evidences that not only show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the creature, but He's also the creator of their actions. And here He mentions the ayat that shows that Allah is the one who creates the hidayah. He is the one who guides the person. And then some people accept it and follow it, and some people don't. But if a person is guided, this action of being guided, of acting upon right guidance, this is also from Allah. And so He mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, 178th ayat. Qala Allahu ta'ala, مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. That whoever Allah guides, Allah is the guide. Whoever Allah guides, فَهُوَ الْمُحْتَدِي. Then this person is the one who has been guided, who has accepted and follows the guidance. But nobody can guide themselves if Allah doesn't guide them. Whoever Allah guides, He is the one who's guided. And whoever Allah leads astray, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And these people are the losers. Naam. So, guidance and misguidance, this is from the action of Allah. Allah is the creator of guidance and the creator of misguidance. And the actions of the human beings, those who are guided and those who are misguided, all of it, the creature and the actions are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meaning of this ayat, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions in brief, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, مَنْ هَدَاهُ اللَّهُ فَإِنَّهُ لَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ. That whoever Allah guides, no one can misguide him. وَمَنْ أَضَلَّهُ. And whoever Allah leads astray, فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَصِرَ وَضَلَّ لَا مَحَالَ. And whoever Allah leads astray, then this person has been يعني خاب, destroyed, خسر, loss, ضل, astray, لا محالة. There's no doubt about it. There's no escape from it. That's the way it is. So he, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir then says, فَإِنَّهُ تَعَالَى. And this is our principle that we started with a long time ago. فَإِنَّهُ تَعَالَى مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Indeed, Allah the Most High, whatever He wills will be, and whatever He does not will, will not be. If He wills to guide somebody, they will be guided. And if He wills to mislead them, they will be misguided. Not out of any kind of injustice, because Allah has perfect knowledge and His actions are based upon perfect wisdom and perfect justice, that He does to for every person that which they are deserving of. He knows those who would be worthy of being guided, that they would accept the guidance and act upon it, and those who would consider it worthless and abandon it and not utilize it, so He doesn't guide them. They turn away from the guidance, and then He facilitates that which they turn themselves to. And then Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions that which came in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَهْدِيهِ. In the narration of Ibn Mas'ud, it came like this. That verily praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, we seek help from Him, and we seek guidance from Him. Because we are not able to guide ourselves. To the end of the supplication or this hadith in which he mentions in it that whoever Allah guides, no one can mislead him, and whoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide him, to the end of the hadith. After this, the eighth evidence and the last ayah from the Quran that the Shaykh mentions, and also there's a lengthy tafsir concerning this ayat, and we'll try to take whatever we can from it. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, 49th surah, 7th ayat, saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Shaykh mentions it from the middle of the ayat, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَقَرَّحَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانَ. This is how the Shaykh mentioned it, that But Allah is the one who has endeared to you al-Iman. He has made it beloved to you. And He has beautified it in your hearts. Allah made it beautiful, attractive in your hearts. Allah did that because He's the Creator. So He can do that. And He has made yani detestable, hated to you al-Kufr. He made disbelief something that you hate. It's detestable. If a person hates kufr, in their heart they have hatred for kufr, that's because Allah, their Creator, He has also created that in them. He has given you that. That's the gift of Allah. That's His favor and His bounty and His mercy. That He has made kufr hated to you, and fusuq, wickedness or major sins, and isyan, other sins, all types of sins. He said that the Shaykh is using this ayah as a proof of what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the creature and the creator of the actions. The one who loves Iman, that's from Allah. The one who hates kufr, that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir. And then, of course, the rest of the ayat that came after this is also important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these whom Allah has made Iman beloved to them and beautified in their hearts and made kufr and sin and wickedness hated to them, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. In the previous ayah, remember he said that those who Allah misleads, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. These are people that are lost for sure. But these whom Allah endeared Iman to them and made it beautiful in their heart, then these are the Rashidun, those who are rightly guided, فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His blessing. A fadl from Allah that He gives to whomever He wills. It's not something that you're deserving of. Rather, fadl from Allah means this is something He gives freely without you deserving it at all. And this is a ni'mah from Allah, a tremendous blessing, favor and bounty. Wallahu alimun hakim. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, and we're going to look at this ayah just quickly and maybe, try to benefit from how the Shaykh has used this for this point. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. That Allah, but Allah is the one who has made Iman beloved to you, endeared in your heart and beautified in your heart. He said that Allah حَبَّبَهُ إِلَى نُفُوسِكُمْ. Yani in your nafs, in your nufus, in each of you, yani who Allah has given this favor and this bounty, this ni'mah to, He has made it beloved. Yani Iman, He has made it beloved. وَحَسَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Yani He has made it beloved in your nafs, in your soul, and He has made it beautiful in your heart. In your qulubikum, in your hearts. And then he mentions a number of hadith. I'm going to come back to one of them. But before that, he says, وَقَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرُ وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. He has made hated to you kufr, yani disbelief, and wickedness, and sin. That is, baghada, baghada. Yani He has made it as bughd, has made it something that extremely hated by you. Yani kufr, He has made it something extremely disgusting, abhorrent, detestable to you. And likewise, al-fusuq, which means al-dhunub al-kibar, the big major sins, wal-isyan, and this is the other types of acts of disobedience. And the saying of Allah, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ, these are they who are guided, meaning al-muttasifuna, those who are described with this characteristic that's mentioned in this ayah, these are those who are rightly guided. These are those whom Allah has given right guidance to. Meaning, the people who He made Iman beloved to you and attractive in your hearts. And then he said, فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً. And this is a favor from Allah and a blessing, yani that Allah has given somebody this or decreed for them this great favor and this blessing from Himself. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And Allah is Alim, the All-Knower, بِمَنْ يَسْتَحِقُ الْحِدَايَةِ مِنْ مَنْ يَسْتَحِقُ الْغَوَايَةِ. Allah knows best. He has perfect knowledge. He knows who's deserving of guidance from those who are deserving of misguidance, being led astray. And He is Hakimun. And He is all wise fi aqwalihi wa af'alihi wa shar'ihi wa qadarihi. And in his speech and His actions and His legislation and His decree, all of it is based upon hikmah, meaning everything is in its proper place, where it belongs. And if Allah guides somebody, that's proper, that's correct, that's the way it's supposed to be. Because Allah is Alim and He is Hakim in what He does. In closing this ayat, the last ayat that the Shaykh has mentioned, we want to say that The shahid, or the point from this ayat, is the saying, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ. Yani, that the point of this ayat that we want to focus on is that it is Allah who has made beloved to your iman. As your creator, He has created this in you. And He has made it, yani, beautiful. He has made it something that is attractive to you, iman. He has placed that in your heart and in your nafs, in your soul. And He has made kufr and sin and disobedience and corruption something detestable to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has done this, who has made iman beloved to you, made it the most beloved of all things to you. He is the one who has beautified it in your hearts by His tawfiq. And you didn't do that because you were better than somebody else. Okay, so the person who has iman, they have to remember that first of all, you didn't do this by yourself. So don't be proud and feel you're better than anybody else. And second of all, remember that this is a favor from Allah that you have to be thankful for. This should humble you, that you have been guided. It should humble you, it should not make you proud, if you understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has made this beloved to you and beautified in your heart. And He is the one who has made the opposite of that. Yani kufr and fusuq and isyan, He has made it hated to you. And this is something that Allah has placed in the hearts. Yani hatred for evil. And the person who does not have within their heart, within their self, they don't have a desire to do evil. Some people, they are driven to do evil, corruption and filth. And some people, they don't have any desire for it. That's from Allah. And you don't think that you are just good. You know, you just like that. I'm just very good, better than other people. Now, this is something that Allah has placed in your nafs, in your soul, and in your qalb, in your heart. That's Allah's favor. That's the favor from Allah, who is your creator and the creator of your actions. So the one who is doing all of this, yani who is making this beloved to you, making it endeared to you, making it attractive to you, the one who is doing all of this, it is Allah, and you are just the maf'ul, yani the one that it happens to. Allah is your creator and the creator of your actions. He is the one who is the creator of the actions, and you are just the one that it occurs upon. And there are many other ayats in the Quran that indicate that Allah is the one who misleads and He guides, and He is the one who supports the believers and destroys His enemies. And He is the one who gives life and causes death. And all of these things, these ayats that point that Allah is the one who does this, all of these are proof of this, yani fourth level of iman and qadr, that Allah is the creator of everything, the creatures and what they do. And here I want to mention one hadith that Ibn Kathir mentions under this ayat. And he mentioned a number of hadith, but this is a very important hadith and it's quite long and we don't have the time to yani read it completely, but I'll just read a little bit of it. You can go back to Tafsir Ibn Kathir, it's there. Under the ayat in Surah Al-Hujurat, he mentions Ibn Kathir in his tafsir of this ayat in Surah Al-Hujurat, a hadith that indicates this point that we are making, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only the creator of the human beings, but the creator of their actions. And the hadith is narrated from Ibn Rifa'a or Abi Rifa'a Az-Zurqi, who said that it was on the day of Uhud, when the pagan disbelievers were retreating, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Istawu hatta uthni ala Rabbi, fasaru khalfahu sufufan." He told the people to line up, "Istawu," so that I may praise my Rabb. So they lined up behind him in lines, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated with this extremely lengthy supplication. The beginning of it is, "Allahumma lakal hamd kulluhu, o kulli, naam." Allahumma la qabid lima basatat basa'ta wala basit lima qaba'ta wala hadi lima adlalta wala mudilla liman hadayta wala mu'tiya lima mana'ta wala mani lima atayta wala muqarrib lima ba'ata wala muba'id lima qarabta. Until the end of the supplication, that Allah, to you belong praise, all of it. There's no one who can, who can roll up or fold up that which you spread out, and there's no one who can spread out that which you roll up, and there's no one who can guide the one who you have led astray, and there's no one who can mislead whom you have guided, and there's no one who can give that which you withhold, and there's no one who can withhold that which you give, and there's no one who can bring near the one you have made far away, and there's no one who can make far away whom you have brought near. And then the Prophet ﷺ went to supplicate to Allah, asking for His blessings and mercy and favor and sustenance and so on, until he came to the part of the supplication where he said, "Allahumma habbib ilayna iman wa zayyinahu fi qulubina wa qarrih ilayna al-kufr wal-fusuq wal-isyan وَجْعَلْنَا مِنَ الرَّاشِدِينَ. O Allah, make beloved to us Iman, and make it beautified in our hearts. This is a supplication that we should be saying. And make hatred to us disbelief, and corruption and sin, and make us to be of those who are rightly guided. And take our souls as Muslims, and make us to live as Muslims, and join us amongst the righteous, and do not make us of those who will be despicable and those who will be tested. And O Allah, kill the disbelievers from amongst those who deny your messengers, and those who close the way to your path. And place your ridge, yani filth, I don't know, punishment upon them, azab, and your punishment upon them. O Allah, kill the disbelievers from those who have been given the book. Indeed, you are ilahun haq, yani the true one who deserves to be worshipped. This hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, with an isnad that is sahih. And the point of this, of Ibn Kathir mentioning this, is what? We can see in this hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fa'il li hadhihi al-umur. That Allah is the one who is doing all of these things. The one who is holding back, or rolling out, or guiding, or misguiding, or giving, or holding back, or making near, making far. Allah is the one who is making iman beloved in your heart, and making it attractive in your heart, and making you hate disbelief and so on. Allah is the fa'il, the one who is doing all of these things. So this is a clear indication of this level of khalq, yani the level of qadr, that Allah is the creator of the creatures and all of their actions. And then the Shaykh closes with the hadith that we mentioned last week and again this week, the hadith that Imam al-Bukhari and others mentioned. Imam Bukhari mentioned in khalq af'al al-ibad, creation of the actions of the creatures, yani a book that he wrote concerning what? That the actions of the creatures are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْنَعُ كُلَّ صَانِيٍ وَصَنَعَتَهُ, that Allah is the one who creates everyone that makes something and that which they make. And he also mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اللَّهُمَّ آتِي نَفْسِي تَقْوَاهَا وَزَكِّيهَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. And the Shaykh mentioned it with these words, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ وَلِيُّهَا وَمَوْلَاهَا. And I didn't find it with إِنَّكَ in any of the narrations, but in any case, the meaning is the same. Yani that, O Allah, you are the one, O Allah, give to my soul its taqwa, its piety and righteousness, and purify it. You are the one, the best of those who purify. Rather, you are the only one who purifies. Indeed, you are the wali, yani the one who is the helper and supporter. And you are the mawla, the master. And the other hadith the Shaykh says besides this. And in closing, I just want to mention concerning the hadith. Yani the hadith has been, yani the hadith, the first hadith that the Shaykh mentioned has been narrated by a lot of scholars of hadith. Besides Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Al-Bazzar mentioned it, Ibn Abi Asim mentioned it in the Sunnah, Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi mentioned it, Al-Lalaka'i mentioned it, Ibn Munda, Ibn Adi, Al-Hakim Al-Bayhaqi, and so many scholars have mentioned it. Yani the narration that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari mentions in Khalq Af'al Al-Ibad. And Al-Hakim, when he mentioned it, he said that it is sahih according to the conditions of Muslim. And Al-Zahabi agreed with him, and Al-Albani also said that it's sahih in silsila al-hadith al-sahiha. And the narration of Al-Bukhari used the words, came with the words, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْنَعُ كُلَّ صَانِيًا وَصَنَعَتَهُ. يَسْنَعُ, يَسْنَعُ, يعني from صَنَعَ, يَسْنَعُ. He is the one who creates, really the meaning of it. He is the one who makes, everyone who makes something and that which they make. In the narration of Al-Lalakali, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ صَانِعُ. Yani instead of the verb mudari form yasna'u, he said sani'u, ism fa'il. You are the one who does that. Yani you are the one who creates or makes everyone that makes something and what they make. And the narration of Bayhaqi, he mentioned, like Al-Bukhari's narration, inna Allah yasna'u. And in another narration of Bayhaqi in Asma wa Sifat, he said, inna Allah sana'a, sana'a. As opposed to yasna'u, he said sana'a. Yani in one case he used the fi'l mudari, the present tense verb, and another narration here he uses the past tense verb sana'a. And in the narration of Ibn Abi Asim, he said inna Allah khalaqa. And this makes clear the meaning of yasna'u or sana'a or sani'u. It means inna Allah khalaqa kulli sani'in wa sana'atahu, that Allah is the one who created everyone that makes something and that which they make. And in the narration of Hakim, he said inna Allah khaliqu, the ism fa'il. So we have the mudari verb yasna'u, the madi verb sana'a, and we have the ism fa'il sani'u, all of these alluding to the same thing, as mentioned in the last two narrations, خَلَقَ and خَالِق, that Allah is the creator of everyone that makes something and that which they make. Naam. And I just want to also mention here, Al-Imam Bukhari, yani in Khalq Af'al Ibad, he mentioned a few narrations. After one of them, he said, Al-Bukhari, and after the narration, he said, and some of the narrators of hadith, after they mentioned this hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَصْنَعُ كُلَّ صَانِعٍ, he said, some of them, after mentioning this hadith, they recited the ayah from the Qur'an, one of the ayahs that we already mentioned, and in the fifth evidence that the Shaykh mentions, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, yani as a proof for this hadith, that this ayah is saying the same thing, that Allah is the one who created you, and that which you do. And Al-Imam Bukhari said, after narrating this narration and mentioning this ayat, Al-Imam Bukhari after that said, فَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّ الصَّنَاعَةَ وَأَهْلَهَا مَخْلُوقَةٌ, yani, so Al-Bukhari is saying that in this hadith, as well as in the same meaning of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that the things that are manufactured, that are made by the human beings and the people who made them, all of them are makhluqa, created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is another proof from a great scholar that people cannot reject Al-Imam Bukhari, saying that the things that the human beings make, as well as those people, it is all created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, Allah musta'an, we're going to finish right now. I'll add here just quickly and briefly a couple of words from Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen in his book Kitab Fiqh al-Ibadat, a very beautiful, simple, very, very simple book, The Fiqh of Acts of Worship, Fiqh al-Ibadat. It's a small book and he brought a lot of benefits in it. Under the title of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, he said that singling out Allah, under the title of Rububiyyah, he said singling out Allah for creation and ownership and control over the affairs, this is part of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So that Allah is alone, He is the creator, and there's no creator besides Him. And then he mentions some of the ayahs that we already mentioned, and other than that, showing that Allah is the only creator and there's no other creator besides Him. And then he says that Allah is alone as the creator, and He's the creator of everything, and He has decreed everything. Everything is by His decree. And he said that His creation, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, and His creation, يَشْمَلْ مَا يَقَعَ مِنْ مَفْعُولَاتِهِ وَمَا يَقَعَ مِنْ مَفْعُولَاتِ خَلْقِهِ أَيْضًا. This is the important point that I want to mention here, that Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah is saying that Allah being the creator of everything, this includes that which occurs from what is the maf'ulat of Allah, meaning Allah is the fa'il, and the maf'ul is that which happens, which occurs as a result of Allah's action. That which occurs as a result of Allah's actions are part of His creation. And as well, the maf'ulat of the khalq, that which occurs as a result of the actions of the creatures. All of this is part of Allah's creation. Yani, the creature and what he does and what occurs as a result of his action. All of this is from Allah's, his creation includes all of this. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ مِنْ تَمَامَ الْإِيمَانِ بِالْقَدْرِ أَنْ تُؤْمِنْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَ خَالِقْ لِأَفْعَالَ الْإِبَادِ. The Shaykh, he says what? And for this reason, it is from the perfection of having iman in the qadr that you believe that Allah is the khaliq, the creator of the af'al of the ibad, the actions, the a'mal, the deeds of the ibad, of his servants. That Allah is the creator of the actions of his servants. And then he explains in brief how this is from two perspectives. From one perspective is that the action of the abd, of the human being, is from his sifat, is part of his characteristics, his action. He's described with his actions. And he's described what he looks like and what he does. So from his sifat is his actions. So the abd, the servant of Allah, is created, is a creature of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say that the one who created something, he is also the creator of his sifat, yani his descriptions. He's the creator of the creature and the creator of his descriptions, and including his descriptions, his actions. From another perspective, is that the action of the servant, it is only occurs by his irada, jazima, yani when he has a firm will to do something, and kudra tama, when he has the ability, Yani the complete ability to do it. He has the will, firm will, and the ability to do it. This only then will his action occur, and indeed his will and his ability, both of them are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who creates the sabab, then he is also the creator of the musabab. Yani the one who creates the cause of something, he is also the creator of its result. And he mentioned some other points, but that's the essence of what he mentioned. And so that we can finish, the supplication, yani, that we mentioned, it came, as I mentioned, Ibn Kathir, I mentioned the narration of Ibn Kathir, which is from the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, and it also came in Sahih Muslim, and he mentions Sahih Muslim when he mentions that narration, but the actual narration of Imam Muslim, the wording is slightly rearranged, but the meaning is exactly the same. I just want to allude to that because I want you to go back and look at them, and inshallah perhaps we can send it also. But in closing, I just want to say that this supplication, the very important supplication, Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakka anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. The beginning of it and the end of it, what came before that and what came after that, is very, very important. But the shahid here, the point that the author mentions it for, is these words, O Allah, give to my soul its taqwa, yani its piety and its righteousness, and purify it, and purify it. The one who does this is Allah alone. He's the only one who can do this. Therefore, he is the one that piety and purification of the soul should be sought from, him alone. He is the one who inspires the human being with this, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayah that we mentioned, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. So he is the one who guided it, who made clear to it, and showed it the way to what is يعني فجورها يعني شر evil and تقواها خير good. And one of the narrators from the Tabi'een, Ibn Zayd, he said in the meaning of this ayat, or Ibn Zayd, maybe he wasn't from the Tabi'een, I'm not really sure, but it seems like he was. He said the meaning of this ayat is جعل ذلك فيها بتوفيقه إياها للتقوى. يعني that the meaning of Allah is the one who has guided the soul to its يعني شر and خير or تقوى and فجور. He said that Allah has made this, جعل ذلك فيها, he has placed this in the soul of the human being, بتوفيقه, by his يعني توفيق. Allah is the one who gave you the ability and the success to do this, يعني for you to have تقوى. So يعني the meaning, what I'm really trying to remind us of, is that we are in need of تقوى. The one that we should ask is Allah. And whoever has taqwa, it is from Allah. He is the creator of the creature and their human actions. The person who is righteous, Allah is the creator of that action. And we should ask Allah for righteousness. And we should ask Allah to purify our souls. And even though yani, the meaning of this ayat, the ayat that this hadith came under, has two possible meanings, that the person who will be successful is the one who purifies his own soul, or it may mean the one who Allah purifies his soul, and likewise the opposite, the one who is destroyed is the one who corrupts his own soul, or Allah corrupts his soul. Both of those meanings perhaps are yani inseparable, because indeed it can only come from Allah, but the human being has to make some effort to purify their soul. And the one who makes an effort to purify his soul and asks Allah's help, then Allah will purify his soul, Allah will grant him piety and righteousness. And the one who turns away from the guidance and seeks corruption, then Allah will give them that. May Allah yani place in our hearts and our minds the desire to be rightly guided, and the desire to have taqwa, to act upon our iman with amal as-salih. May Allah make us of those who ask him regularly, consistently, sincerely. Naam, because we are in need. We are in need. And then after we ask Allah, we have to do that which justifies Allah answering our supplication, that is to utilize the asbab, the means or the ways of guidance. Yani we have to seek knowledge of right guidance, knowledge of the sunnah, knowledge of correct aqidah, and then act upon it. Yani we have to ask Allah for it, and then we have to do something ourselves. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported that in the battle of, I think it was Uhud, Naam, Khandaq, not Uhud, Naam, when they were digging the trench, it is reported that he said, لولا الله ما اهتدينا ولا تصدقنا ولا صلينا. To the end of what he was chanting, the meaning here is that if it was not for Allah, we would not have been guided, and we would not have given charity, and we would not have fasted. Meaning that being guided and charity and prayer and fasting and all the things that we do, if it wasn't for Allah, we would never have been able to do them, because Allah is the creator of the human being and the creator of their actions. May Allah guide us to that which is right and give us the success to act upon this guidance and to never abandon it. May He keep us firm, make our hearts firm upon obedience to Him and upon His deen. May He protect us from misguidance and the people of misguidance and the gatherings of misguidance. And may He grant us success to remain firm until we die in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and He is pleased with us. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.